Across the country, we're seeing an acute nursing shortage. There are limited seats for nursing students each year, and schools are turning away thousands of qualified applicants as they struggle to expand class size and hire more nursing teachers. We're talking about the state of nursing here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Here in Wisconsin, our aging population is requiring more care. CNAs, certified nursing assistants, are also in short supply. A new report by a coalition of Wisconsin healthcare organizations says 1 in 5 direct caregiver positions in our state is going unfilled. Karen Mittelstadt is Assistant Dean for Academic Affairs at the School of Nursing at UW-Madison. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And Linda Scott is Dean of the School of Nursing at UW-Madison. She's an RN, a fellow of the American Academy of Nursing, and an advanced nurse executive. Linda, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's start with you, Dean Linda Scott. How bad is the nursing shortage? We've heard so many numbers out there, thousands, in the thousands. These are big numbers. What do we know?
Well, you're very correct. Across the nation, we know that we will have a shortage of over 1 million nurses by 2024. And in Wisconsin, we know that by 2040, we will be short around 27,000 nurses in the state.
Is this shortage affecting other healthcare professions? Are we seeing this in physicians, in nursing assistants, in CNAs, and in other parts of healthcare?
Yes, we are. In particular, we are starting to see a shortage in primary care providers, and particularly it affects access to care. And so we're really concerned about that.
And the nursing shortage obviously impacts different parts of the country and impacts Wisconsin differently. So, Linda, where is this shortage being felt most acutely? Rural, urban areas?
Yes, definitely in rural areas. We find that a number of healthcare providers want to stay and practice more in urban areas, and therefore residents in more rural counties don't have access to care, not only access to primary care, but also for mental health care.
And in those rural areas, is it just that nurses are looking toward larger hospitals, larger areas for more options for jobs? Why? What is holding back rural areas?
Well, I think one of the things that is beneficial when individuals have exposure to practice in those areas. We find at UW-Madison School of Nursing, the more opportunities that we give individuals to practice in that area, especially in rural counties, that they're more likely to stay. And individuals who come from rural areas are more likely to go back there. So the more that we can provide education to individuals who live in rural areas, we're able to really help improve the workforce in those counties.
And Karen, you're looking at various sections of the workforce and how to boost the numbers in approaching this shortage. One of those areas is gaining more Native American nurses, nurses from Native American backgrounds. Can you talk about this program?
Sure. It's a new grant within the school, and it's a 4-year program that will help us recruit and retain and put more Native nurses out into the workforce. And it's just one of the many initiatives throughout the school that are looking at our ability to help diversify the workforce here in the state of Wisconsin.
How is that program going almost 1 year in?
This is the first year that we have students enrolled in the program, and so it's still kind of, I would say, in its growth phase, but our faculty and our student services staff are really working to make this program reach its expectations.
Why is it so important to have nurses who are Native American, nurses of other backgrounds in the healthcare profession?
Well, we know that health outcomes are better when the nursing workforce mirrors the populations that they're serving. And so we like to see our healthcare providers who look like us and come from the same kind of places and backgrounds that we do. And so that's a major initiative within the school, is to enroll a student nurse population that will help diversify the nursing workforce in the state and provide nurses who look like and help serve our population in the state.
Well, one of the troubling statistics out there right now is that there are 56,000 qualified applicants just can't get a seat in a nursing program, in a nursing school. How competitive is it, Karen?
It's extremely competitive, and it's growing increasingly so across the nation, and we're seeing that within our School of Nursing here at UW-Madison. You know, just 7 years ago, we were admitting upwards of 60-65% of the candidates who applied to our undergraduate program. Last year, we were at an all-time low of 34% admit rate. So it's undeniably becoming a more competitive process, and there's a lot of reasons that we can talk about that are playing into that, but that is the current reality.
So what is playing into that? What is going on? What's driving that low acceptance rate?
Well, usually we kind of talk about five factors that are contributing, and the first is a shortage of qualified faculty. You know, the availability of clinical sites. This is it's a hands-on practice, and so we need clinical sites and opportunities for our students to gain those experiences, classroom space, preceptors, practicing nurses who are willing to help us educate our nurses, and then budget constraints. And those are felt differently in different schools of nursing. Here at UW-Madison, we're fortunate that one of those, the classroom space, isn't such an issue for us because of the university's and the state commitment to our school. We have a new state-of-the-art Cooper Hall, our School of Nursing, that has really helped us with the facilities and infrastructure to grow our program. But those other factors, the faculty shortage, the clinical sites, those remain a real hurdle for us.
We're talking about nursing shortages here in Wisconsin, around the country, trends we're seeing in the nursing profession, and you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. We're talking with Karen Mittelstadt. She's Assistant Dean for Academic Affairs at the School of Nursing at UW-Madison, and Linda Scott. She is Dean of the School of Nursing at UW-Madison. She's also an RN by training and a fellow of the American Academy of Nursing. Are you applying to nursing programs? Do you worry that you won't get in because of these low acceptance rates? Do you have a backup plan? If you are a nurse who's been in the field for a long time, how has the nursing shortage impacted your day-to-day work on the job? 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. So, Linda, we've also seen a number of men get into the nursing profession. We've seen such a wave of people looking at this profession, not just as women, but as men as well. So how has that impacted the profession?
Well, as Karen mentioned earlier, we're really interested in having a diverse workforce. That includes gender diversities. So we're somewhere now around 10%. Or so that are men in the profession, and we really want to see more. Having men in the profession, knowing that it is indeed a profession that individuals can pursue, and we need to move away from some of the stereotypes that we have about nursing.
So, but nursing still overwhelmingly a female profession, 90% women, 10% men.
Yes.
But so, and it used to be a lot more than that for women. I would assume almost 100%.
Yes. I mean, it is still a female dominated profession. But again, we're really trying to transform it so that we do have gender representation as well.
Dean Linda Scott, how have you seen this profession change since you were nursing? And as you send these new students out into the world, into these professions and into these hospitals and clinics, what is the parting words of advice you have for them?
Well, I think what's really important for nurses to know that it is still one of the top professions in the world. It's still the most trusted profession in the world. It's one in which there's longevity. There's one in which you can have a career. There's very few careers in which you can practice your discipline from across the lifespan, from acute care to the community, whether in the boardroom or at the bedside. So it's one in which you can really develop a career. And it's also one in which there's financial stability. So I think what we're really seeing is people recognizing it for being more than what we see on TV.
According to the American Association of Colleges of Nursing, schools turned away more than 56,000 qualified applicants from undergraduate nursing programs last year. We're talking about the shortage, the future of nursing here in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. Talking with Karen Mittelstadt and Linda Scott, they stay with us. Karen is assistant dean. Linda is dean of UW-Madison School of Nursing. You can join in with your questions, your experiences in the profession, 800-642-1234. Can you feel the shortage day to day in your work if you're a nurse? Call in, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after this news update on the Ideas Network. A number of projections anticipate the number of nursing jobs in Wisconsin and across the nation will grow in the coming decades. The need is most acute in specialized areas. Like take, for instance, nurse anesthetists, nurse educators, and psychiatric nurses. We're talking about the challenges and the pipeline for nurses in Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dean of UW-Madison School of Nursing Linda Scott is here, as is Assistant Dean Karen Mittelstadt. You can join in the discussion at 800-642-1234. Are you in an accelerated nursing program, or do you hope to enroll in one? Why did you decide to go to a non-traditional program? Are you a male nurse? Why did you decide to become a nurse? What is it like being in a field that's about 90% women? Call in. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. So, Karen, you've launched this accelerated one-year nursing program, and just this month, here in May. Why, first of all, an accelerated program?
Well, it's the most efficient, time-effective way to educate and graduate more nurses. And a major impetus for our School of Nursing to create that program was to help with the nursing shortage. It allows us, again, to educate nurses in a very timely fashion and without compromising the quality of their education and experience.
So you're taking a two-year program and just condensing it down to 1 year. How do you do that?
Well, it builds on the prior learning of these are second degree students, so they already have an undergraduate degree in another field, and so we're just building on the kind of liberal arts basis of that degree and adding on the nursing curriculum. We're also running a full 12 months, so there's not the traditional holidays that you would see in our traditional program. There's not a summer break. There's not a winter holiday. They're really running straight through. They have 3 weeks off in those 12 months. They're pacing themselves at about one credit per week.
So one credit per week.
Right.
Wow.
Our estimate is that these students will spend between 50 and 60 hours each week in class and out of class learning. So it compacts the teaching and the learning into a period that we think is very viable, but it is rigorous and accelerated.
What kind of backgrounds do these students come from, and how many seats are there in the accelerated program?
Our first cohort is 32, and we're looking forward to growing that program at a reasonable but steady rate. And, you know, our initial applicant class, we really saw what the nation is seeing in terms of the background. So career changers, people who maybe had not been in the workforce but are interested in coming into the workforce. And some of the reasons that Dean Scott shared earlier about why nursing is a desirable profession, that's drawing people who hadn't thought about it initially, perhaps, to now consider it as a real opportunity.
Is it helpful for you as you create a program like this to have students who are coming in with a degree under their belt, having had the campus experience, the college experience, knowing what it's like at an undergraduate level?
For sure. I mean, these individuals are very focused on degree attainment and their professional opportunities. And some of that, which are traditional age college students interested in with extracurricular activities and Greek life, and that's less of a focus for these students. And so they're incredibly focused on this goal, and they have to be at the rate of learning.
Right, with 50, I mean, what the intensity. Dean Scott, when you look at an accelerated program like this, is that sustainable?
Well, I've had experience with a number of accelerated programs, and yes, it is. And as Karen mentioned, the students who seek this program have a different level of maturity, and so they are very focused to complete their studies, and actually are also very attractive to employers because they bring that level of maturity to their practice.
Let's talk about pay here for a moment, because we have seen in past decades, and even in recent history, where nurses have been on strike over pay. Nurses have walked off the job, that pay has, in some cases, really had to come around. What are we seeing in terms of this profession and what nurses are being paid? Dean Scott.
So salaries have improved for practicing nurses. They, on average, can be anywhere around between $48,000 to $60,000 a year, starting as a new graduate. So much better than what they were when I first started as a nurse. But where we also have challenges, though, as they have increased salaries in practice, we still have challenges with salaries in academia, so in university settings. So if nurses earn more in practice, it's harder to recruit them as faculty. And so non-competitive salaries for nurse educators is problematic.
And certainly with nurse educators, too, you're probably asking those nurse educators to have master's and doctoral level degrees.
Yes. Yes. Master's degrees are required for those who are teaching in associate degree programs, and doctoral degrees are required at the university level. So that becomes problematic when we have insufficient number of individuals with that level of education.
Has there been an impact with male nurses coming into the profession as to what salaries have looked like?
I don't think that that's the issue. I think that salaries have improved because of recognition of the education and expertise that nurses bring and as vital members of the healthcare team.
Karen, what have been your observations regarding what nurses are being paid, both starting and as they go through their career in their profession?
Well, I don't have a great deal of knowledge of kind of what that looks like, but certainly as we'd meet with students who are interested in coming to our School of Nursing, the notion of this is a profession which I can make a reasonable living and on top of all the other intrinsic benefits of you know, being able to help people, I think that's it is an appeal. I think it's in no way a detriment or a deterrent from students considering this profession.
Outside of an accelerated approach, there is this non-traditional or perhaps traditional path, which is a two-year nursing program. Explain some of the routes you can get a nursing degree that may be an alternative way to achieve that degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, at our School of Nursing at UW-Madison, we talk about three routes to the bachelor's. We have our traditional program, which is 2 years in the nursing curriculum. For most students, that looks like coming to UW-Madison as a freshman, doing 2 years of pre-nursing coursework, and then entering the program for junior, senior year. We have our new accelerated program, which is a 12-month, and we also have our RN to BSN, the BSN at home program, which is for associate's degree prepared nurses who are interested in returning to school to earn their bachelor's.
So, Dean Scott, you said earlier that nurses are highly trusted. You are going into a profession where people really trust you. Can you help us understand a little bit more what you're saying there?
Well, the Gallup polls for the last 16, 17 years have identified nurses as being the most trusted profession. There's only 1 year in which we came in second, and that was when 9/11 occurred. And then so firefighters and paramedics actually were seen as the most trusted. I think it goes back to the part that The nursing profession has a social mandate with society. Our goal is to ensure that individuals receive quality care, and we serve as advocates for that care. And so people believe in us, and we believe in what we do. And so I think it goes hand in hand with that.
Let's talk about affording nursing school, because certainly these programs, carry robust price tags. Karen, are nursing schools doing anything to make their programs more affordable? And what is the cost?
Well, in our traditional program, our students pay the standard UW-Madison tuition rate. And it's the same as it is for all students. Our accelerated program does carry a kind of a premium rate tuition. Part of that is to offset the cost of that accelerated program. The efforts that our School of Nursing is making towards offsetting the cost of attendance for students, it's a huge focus for us, working with our donors, working with the university to secure more scholarship and funding options for our students to make it a more reasonable expense. That's a big focus for us.
And what about in terms of clinicals? Because if students want to work and have a part-time job, they are also trying to maneuver around having to do clinicals outside of their classwork. What collides there?
Quite a bit, and that's why that's seeking funding to help make it so our students can focus more on their studies is so important for us. Because you're right, I mean, we are, in terms of those clinical experiences, we're sort of at the mercy of our health partners or in the agencies and the preceptors, and having students be able to work with them in those settings on their schedule, which doesn't always align with part-time jobs on campus or in food service within the community. And it also shifts. This 8 weeks, this is my clinical schedule. Next 8 weeks, it will be something different. So that's a bit of a moving target for our students. And that's why it's important for us to try to help them secure the scholarships and the financial aid that lets them focus and not have so many barriers for their education.
We're talking about the state of nursing today here on The Morning Show. Karen Mittelstadt is Assistant Dean for Academic Affairs. Linda Scott is a professor and the dean of the school. She's an RN by training, and you have a line at 800-642-1234. Are you a nurse who's been in the field for a long time, or perhaps you are brand new to the profession? How has your job changed? Is the shortage impacting your day-to-day work? Are you satisfied in the profession? You can call in at 800-642-1234, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dean Linda Scott, we have an aging population here in Wisconsin. We know that as a population ages, there are more healthcare needs. And as there are more healthcare needs, of course, we need more people in the profession in nursing. What are you seeing ahead as we have this aging population, and certainly in the area of geriatric nursing?
Okay. Well, one, we want to really encourage nurses to practice in the care of older adults. One of our programs that we have for students is our advanced practice to become nurse practitioners in adult geriatric primary care, so that they can be providers in rural areas and meet the needs of older adults. We also want to encourage our students to want to care for older adults. At the university and in our school, we have the Center for Aging Research and Education, the acronym CARE. And so it is one of our signature areas in caring for older adults. So we sort of have this graying of society, we really need to help individuals see that is indeed an area of practice that they want to be in. You know, there's the stereotype of long-term care in nursing homes, and we really need to elevate the quality of care that those individuals receive.
Do you see a shortage there at long-term care facilities mm-hmm. for nursing care?
Yes, we do. Most nursing homes have certified nursing assistants and maybe one RN, and being able to change the landscape so that there are more registered nurses who are actually on site and providing care. We also need to provide support to family caregivers, the informal individuals who are trying to keep older adults at home who then put their own health at risk. So how do we help assist those individuals in that informal caregiving role?
Karen, are you seeing some older adults looking to go into nursing and perhaps a career change or coming into your program?
I mean, right now, looking at our graduating class this May, we have a 53-year-old student. So our traditional program is still rather traditional aged. It skews into the lower 20s. But we have always had, within our traditional program, quite a wide spread of ages. Our accelerated program will start to tick that age up even higher because, again, those are second-degree candidates. So, yes, we are seeing older nursing students within the program itself.
What does that do, then, to what you're able to talk about in the classroom and just the approach you take with these students who come from different backgrounds and different experiences?
It's huge. I mean, that's the whole part about being attentive to what the composition of our classes look like, because our students learn not only from their faculty members and from their preceptors in the healthcare setting, they learn from one another. And so the more broad experiences, whether it be from their hometowns or their home countries or their age, whatever their life experience might be, that draws a whole different aspect that our students can talk about in the classroom and in their labs and in settings.
Do we have any data out there that's looking into attrition in the field and to how many nurses are leaving the field? Are we retaining?
So there are data about the new graduates when they come into the profession, and right now the data says that 1 in 4 may actually either leave their first position within the first year, and some even actually leave the profession. And so it's also trying to make sure that students, as graduates, as they transition into their roles, go into practice environments that are healthy. It's also important for them to go into what are called nurse residency programs, which is a more structured orientation that would help them in that transition to practice. We don't want to educate and then lose nurses. And so the strategies that we can put in place that would prevent that are very helpful.
Karen, what are some things that perhaps are impacting attrition, and why would nurses be leaving the profession?
Well, you're holding someone's life in your hand at times, and the stress of that is hard to emphasize. If we speak back to that nursing shortage idea too, the insufficient staffing in some facilities, it just adds to the stress of the role and can help may force some nurses to consider other opportunities. That's, if we backtrack that to the kind of admissions picture, that's a big part of kind of how we're able to try to work at this problem at the fringes by talking with prospective students and trying to open their eyes to what this profession really is. And that's hard work to do because you're talking with 18-year-olds who are, focused on the here and now. But as we look at our admissions process, kind of a key thing that we try to glean is what students know about themselves and what they know about this profession that helps them understand that it's a good fit for them, so that once we do admit them to our program, that they graduate, and then when they enter the workforce, they've kind of done so with eyes wide open and are well prepared for the challenges that will lie ahead.
It is National Nurses Week, and we thought it would be a good time to check in on how the profession is doing here on the morning show. We have two guests from UW-Madison School of Nursing. Karen Mittelstadt is Assistant Dean for Academic Affairs. Linda Scott is a professor and dean of the school. You can join in as well at 800-642-1234. Are you a nurse? Are you in the profession now, perhaps on your way to work? Are you satisfied in your work? Call in, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back after this news. the nursing profession is being squeezed a couple ways. Half of the nurses in the nation are 50 years old or older, and a wave of retirements is expected in the next decade or so. At the same time, as the baby boomer generation ages, more Americans need more medical services and nursing care. We're checking in on the challenges of the profession and the pathways of becoming a nurse here in Wisconsin. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Two administrators stay with us for this conversation. Linda Scott is dean of the UW-Madison School of Nursing and an RN by training. Karen Mittelstadt is assistant dean for academic affairs. You have a line at 800-642-1234. If you've been a nurse for decades, what do you have to share with how your profession has changed? Are the skills needed to be a nurse today and in the future the same as they were decades ago? You can call in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to George waiting in Monroe. Hi, George.
Hi, good morning. My comments are these. There's been consolidation in the healthcare industry, and nurses have far fewer options than they had. They're treated as fungible goods by administrators. They're subject to arbitrary scheduling, and their compensation continues to make a big hit. Act 10 stops many of them from being eligible to bargain for better conditions. And training nurses will only make these problems worse. It'll give administrators more options to disregard the needs of the experienced nurses and just hire newbies. If you want to make nursing fix the shortage, fix those problems.
George, I want to pause right there and let Dean Scott respond to that.
Well, thank you, George. I agree that we need to ensure that there is a safe and quality practice environment. However, I also think that we need to ensure that our new nurses are able to join us and practice and learn from experienced nurses. So I don't really see it as a process to replace the current nurses. I think we need to really look at how we ensure that we are meeting the quality care that our patients and clients deserve. We need to be partners in this process.
Let's go to Sandy in Milwaukee. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 20-year-old who is 2 years into pre-nursing and last year developed a vision impairment and is not legally blind, but has central vision issues and has always wanted to and still wants to finish in nursing, but is very concerned about being able to complete the clinical. She does use assistive technology and is independent. Is it realistic? Is there a place in nursing for the visually impaired?
Sandy, thanks so much for the call. Karen, can you respond to that?
Sure. I mean, many schools of nursing have technical standards for their students to ensure that students can safely complete the degree. But that's an interesting kind of line of this, is that our role at the school is to educate the students. And that allows us to have a level of accommodation so that students with visual impairments and different learning differences that we can work through, you know, the appropriate campus resources to help students manage those differences in the classroom and in clinical settings. You know, the transition to practice then is kind of a separate topic about can you be a the difference between being a visually impaired, in this example, a nursing student, from being a visually impaired nurse. And that's another area where the earlier comments that Dean Scott made about the variety of opportunities in the profession, because you don't have to be a bedside nurse. And so that just opens up. You can, be a nurse researcher. There's just many different avenues in the nursing profession that would allow a student with, the kinds of visual impairment that Sandy mentioned to have success.
And I would encourage her maybe to contact the Nurses with Disabilities organization as a resource, and they may be able to help provide her with more information.
Sandy, thanks so much. Let's go to Carol now in Madison. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I've been a nurse for decades and decades and decades, and I really love the profession. I really feel fulfilled by what I'm doing. But I see that we're losing a lot of nurses through policies. I happen to work in a hospital, but I think it's at least Madison-wide hospitals and clinics where we're being approved for fewer staff positions, and the nurses that are hired there get frequent phone calls. Can you come in extra? Can you work an extra 4 hours? Can you work an extra 8 hours? Without overtime, all of our overtime has been discontinued since Act 10. In addition, shifts that were really convenient to nurses, like working 3 a.m. to 3 p.m. or 3 p.m. to 3 a.m., have been discontinued because they're not considered the standard in the industry. And I think if hospitals and clinics were more in tune with what little things they can do to promote nurse retention, we'd go a long way.
Carol, thank you so much for those comments. Linda or Karen, any follow-up there?
Well, I would just say with that, I agree that there should be a partnership with the employer and nurses in trying to have an environment that's conducive to nurses. But I would also say that we also want an environment that's also healthy for nurses. And as a sleep researcher, I would say shifts that from 3A to 3P or 3P to 3A are also not healthy for the nurse because of or for patients who in their care because of fatigue issues. So I would want us to do things that are safe, that are evidence-based, and that bring quality to the work environment.
So are you seeing those 12-hour shifts be phased out? Because we often saw, yes, I work three 12-hour shifts a week, and I'm good to go.
I don't think 12-hour shifts are being phased out, but there is a concern about extended work hours and the risks that are associated with them. In our research, we have found that there is a risk that 3.5 times higher when one works beyond 12-hour shifts. So it's also part of that healthy practice environment is also having fatigue management programs in place.
Let's go to Mary now in Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Yes, good morning. Basically, I just wanted to say thank you to all the nurses. I'm sure most of us have had the opportunity to have a nurse that has been helping us through whatever it is that we needed. And I wanted to take the time to thank my husband, Rudy, who works at the VA. And 28 years after a factory job, he was smart enough to make the decision to go into nursing, did very well in school, and then went to the VA, which has been so beneficial, not just for him and all of his patients, but for the VA, for, just helping people. And I would recommend such a job or job change for anyone else that might be middle-aged and looking for something that they can work at to be a very helpful career for others.
Oh, remarkable story there, Mary. Thank you so much for sharing that. So 28-year career in factory work and then becoming a nurse.
So I think that is similar to what Karen talked about with our second degree students and or non-traditional students who seek a career change. So we're very proud of individuals like that who join our profession.
Let's squeeze in one more call here. John in Green Bay is with us. Hi, John.
Good morning. Quick story. I started my adult life as a professor of philosophy at the University of Wisconsin. I then translated to 18 years as the executive director of a not-for-profit. And when I was 57, I entered the College of Nursing at UW-Milwaukee. I took my BSN when I was 60. Thought I may have 7 or 8 years of being a nurse. It's now been 23 years.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
Nursing. I've had 23 years in hospice nursing, and I then turned into being a speaker, and I traveled the country talking to people about taking responsibility for their health.
Oh, wow. That is incredible.
Yes.
Karen, What do you think of that?
Well, I think that John speaks to the passion that nurses have for their work, and the, you know, that it can be a lifetime profession, and it's you know, it's incredibly rewarding to be able to work with such a diverse population and provide care and health. And that's, I think, if we circle back to that idea of the admissions process, that's why we're seeing so many more students coming into this university with a desire to go into the profession so that they can have experiences like that which John had later in his life.
Let's, as we start to wrap up here, I want to ask you both, what changes do you hope to see in nursing programs or in the nursing profession in the near future, especially in light of the comments that we've seen this hour that Act 10 really took a hit on the nursing profession? Collective bargaining really impacted the lives of nurses.
We have an emphasis in our curriculum in the undergraduate level and in the graduate level on producing nurse leaders, and that's something that I point to, that we want our graduates to be able to go out and enact the change that they want to see in their workforce and their professional lives. And there's some things that we can do as a school of nursing. I think, Dean Scott, you serve on the board of UW Health and partner with health agencies and systems to enhance the experience for nurses. But I think a very kind of when the rubber hits a roadway that we can do it is to graduate nurses who are ready to go out and really advocate for themselves and their profession.
Dean Scott, when you look in your crystal ball, where do you see the nursing profession headed in the next decade or two?
I think nurses will still be the leaders in transformation of our healthcare system. Right now, it is still currently fragmented. We still have large populations that don't have access to care and marginalized, and I think nurses will make the difference in that.
Well, Linda and Karen, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Linda Scott is a professor and dean of the School of Nursing at UW-Madison. She is an RN and a fellow of the American Academy of Nursing and an advanced nurse executive. Karen Mittelstadt was here as well, assistant dean for academic affairs at the School of Nursing. We've been looking at the challenges that exist today and in the future for the nursing profession and what that nursing pipeline looks like here in Wisconsin. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy and the Ideas Network Director Cheryl Gasser. Michael Derringer provided technical assistance. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Stay with us.